Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So, let's jump right in. Our today's guest is Mr. Sudhir Agarwal. He is the Director of Business Development at Microsoft and has some really prestigious companies like Oracle, Thomson Reuters, and Nivation Technologies under his belt of experiences. In this episode, he will be sharing his learnings and experience with us that allowed him to create a life better and happier.
Let me compliment you. The theme of your entire initiative is love and relationship.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you really look at it, love and relationship both have the factor of, give.
Yes.
And if somebody can learn the art and science of give with zero expectation, it's a strong word I'm using. Both
very
love and relationship, if you can have a mindset of give with zero expectations, to me, half the battle is won in the life.
Wow.
Half, if not more, half the battle is won in the life. You are done. Half. But then we are human being. Now the most beautiful gift to human being is the heart, mind, and soul that we have been blessed with. So I think most of us make a royal mess out of it, but if we can, apply, channelize our heart, our soul, our mind in the right direction. I don't know about the world, at least, I as an individual can be a better person. It's for everyone. Any individual can be a better person if one is able to channelize, the mind, heart, and soul in the right direction.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Because when you channel your mind, heart, and soul in same direction, one, they all will be in sync. So you won't get distracted. That's the biggest reason why people feel is they get distracted. Like attention span nowadays is a few seconds. It's getting less than 10 seconds. But if you are in synchronization, your mind, soul, and body, like they're in synchronization, you'll stay focused on same thing. It feels learning from your experience and all the things, knowing what I don't know that I should, and insecurities management, these two are really important concepts that, as you said, it's common sense. But then why people don't know it?
Because common sense is most uncommon.
With this sentence, I do get a flashback of all the incidents I had, and I would think, okay, dude, it's common sense. And now this sentence says, yeah, I can relate.
And see, also, and that's where I'm saying, aligning your heart, soul, and mind, channelizing in the right direction is very important. And I'm a firm believer that if you can find positivity in everything, trust me, Nishant, half battle is won. I will always say half battle, because then the remaining battle is, how do I now exercise this? Do I mean it, what I'm saying? And Can I reflect this in anything and everything that I do? And also, I have learned the art, another concept in my life, yes, but approach.
Yes, but approach. Okay.
So yes, but approach is, Nishant, is like, you know, you tell me something. I have maybe two ways of responding. I say, no. What are you talking? No. You will feel bad about it. You won't like it. Nobody likes blatant no on the face.
True.
And the simple reason is because when you say something, you carry certain background about you, you certain carry some background about me, you carry certain expectations, sometimes aspirations. And if I say blatantly no, it hits you. You feel hurt. But if I say, wow, Nishant, I think is a good point. I think it's a wonderful thing. However, in the current context, you know, I think we can do it some other time. We can do it later. We can do it differently. Now you see the difference between the two approaches. In the latter approach, you realize at least your point, you are being listened to. Human being wants to be listened to. Then you realize at least my point has been acknowledged. I'm not heard, I'm listened to. My point is acknowledged. And then you see a perspective that why not now? Why some other time? Maybe my constraints are there. Maybe we can mutually agree, okay, let's add something more to this and, you know, then do this. So the first one is the pure negative approach. The latter one is, I call it a positive approach. See, because if I have to tell you yes, but I have to listen to you first. I have to relate and connect what you are saying, what you mean, what you are aspiring, what you're looking at. So I have to understand your perspective. And then instead of reacting in the first situation, it's a reaction. In the second situation, we respond. Then, you know, I can respond. And I think then we are on a very, very different note.
True. From my perspective, it will make me feel heard and, you know, accepted. So the human need of being accepted. So yes. I don't feel alien and I won't be on the guard now. Even if there is some criticism coming up, I won't be on the guard. I'll be receptive to it. And
yes.
Okay, sir. So actually being a part of love and relationships, I'm so glad you like the concept. It's encouraging to say the least, knowing that it's, you believe that it's something that the world needs and it's a good start. I'm hoping that I'll be able to, you know, help people with it, at the very least reach out to a larger audience and help them have a better life ahead with themselves, with their partners. So where did your story start with love and relationships with the girls as your story would proceed? Was it like school, college?
So if you look at that way, I think it's by birth for us. Because when I was born, you know, we were six brothers and sisters.
Okay.
So a family of eight, you know, that means you are already living in those relationships. You are living, you know, father, mother, brothers, younger, elder, sister. And so you are already living in relationships. One. Two. As I still remember when we were growing, you know, those days are very different when people often used to visit each other, you know, engage with each other at friendship level, at family level. These days, you know, that has gone significantly going down now. But those days, you know, it was all about that. Then whenever you have, you know, professional gathering, social gathering, personal gathering, you have these gatherings.
Yes.
So I think fundamentally, the kind of family background I come from, I think that had strong element of relationship, togetherness. And then as we grew, I started my career with, HCL. So HCL was a very, very different organization where the value system was very high. There was a very good balance between professional and personal life, by design. And people over there, they were like, we used to more live like a family. And then I started engaging with the external ecosystem. So for me, if you ask me, I think it has been very natural to me. Now, one can understand that, maybe you come from a family where the family were distracted, family were disturbed, family, had certain background, not so positive, not so, right background. So if somebody grows in that environment, possibly, you pick up those traits then. So I can safely say that I am, I've been a very fortunate person. And then, we started, we have extended families, friend circle. And somewhere I can certainly say, I think defining the level of relationship in each relationship, maybe somewhere we must have, each of us must have overdone that, including myself. But then over time, I think the course correction happens. Somewhere we might have underplayed, so course correction happens. So I can very safely say, I think the way I have lived and grown, I have been very fortunate person to be living in the right environment. Because there is a saying that, the environment in which you are born and brought up that matters most. So I think I've been very fortunate, I can safely say, that I've grown. And it is not that, each of us don't go through rough and tough tidbit. That's natural. But I can safely say there has not been anything significantly which could have broken me. Because certain time things break.
Yes.
So luckily, I think nothing like that happened in my life. So I'm very fortunate. I'm very lucky person that I'm able to grow in a healthy environment, whether it is social, personal, family, professional. So I continue to believe that relationship. And to further substantiate, Nishant, last 1.5 decade, I have been working with the government as a, my client side.
Okay.
And government business is all about relationship.
Yes.
Why? Because there are, if you go to corporate, you meet CXO, one of the CXOs, you can go and make a sale. Normally, you don't conceptualize new initiative with them. They conceptualize and they call you as a vendor and you engage with them.
Yes.
But in government, it's all about ecosystem. You have policy makers, you have decision makers, you have end user, you have consultant, you have funding organization, you have academia, so many stakeholders.
True.
So in if you're working in government system, which I have been working for almost 1.5 to 2 decades now, and which is all about ecosystem, relationship. So I think that has further strengthened my belief. Now it's a belief that life is all about, relationship. Because there, if you really see in my, government system, people move around.
Yes.
They are always transferable.
Yes.
So, if you are able to move around with the people, that means you have been able to work upon relationship rather than transactions. So I think that has strengthened my belief in relationship. And
yeah.
One more thing I would like to say, I think in most of my relationship, I have, maybe with some exceptions, I have not overlived my relationships.
But what would it mean, overlived a relationship?
Overlived a relationship. I'm glad you are asking this. Sometimes what happens when you get a relationship, you tend to over leverage that. You tend to, you know, overly dependent and overly working on that. So either it gets consumed very fast, or maybe it gets into some kind of unreasonable situations and positions. And I'm saying not that, you know, 360 degree, all my life I have not overlived. But by design, I have not overlived my relationship. I have maintained certain protocols and certain levels, and I have lived those relationships. Exceptions are there, so I don't want to say no to exceptions. But by design, I have not overlived relationships. I have seen people living their relationship, you know, overly by design, and they are always short-lived.
Yeah, you don't like, not everyone is able to even recognize the boundaries of the relationships, and those who do don't always adhere to these boundaries. And in both relationships,
yes, relationship, you really want long lasting. I think you have to draw your own checks and balances to define relationships and live those relationships.
Yeah, leaving relationships is, again, we'll get back to the art of letting go.
It is very easy to get tempted, you know, towards certain privileges what you are being offered.
Yeah,
but
true.
You forget to draw the line.
Yes, I can. No, I can practically relate it to this instance. So
it happens to all of us. That's the reason I'm also saying, not that I have not overlived some of the relationships, or I have not underlived some of the relationships. I'm never saying no to that. I have overlived and I have underlived certain relationships, but by far, by design, I think I have been able to live my relationships quite well. And that is what helps me, you know, sustain myself or continue to sustain myself in a moderated manner.
That's really great. That's something I really look forward to learning along with the things about letting go. That's a work in progress.
Let go is one of the biggest mantras, can make you secure, can make you manage your bandwidth, you know, scale, because you can let go things.
True. So, sir, in the same context, well, as you had a great foundation with relationships, how did it translate with the interactions you had later in life with girls or crushes, infatuations, or even girlfriends? If you feel comfortable sharing about them.
No, why not? Why not, Nishan? Wonderful. See, that is where one thing I said.
Yes,
overliving your relationships.
Yeah.
Now, what overliving is basically overreading a situation. So, I think all throughout, I knew myself a little bit in terms of, you know, what I'm good at. What I can afford not only financially, I'm saying what I can afford as a person in terms of my personality, in terms of, you know, my lifestyle, in terms of what I mean, all that. So I think I knew by far, and that's where somewhere I might have underlived also some of the relationships.
Okay.
Because sometimes when you tend to know yourself, and under that knowing yourself, you tend to underplay also sometimes. It happens. So not knowing also is crime. But sometimes you know, and you get in certain gears, you get to over know. But by far, I will say, you know, I have lived a life, and that is where I think comes to the value system. Can you have same standards for yourself and others? Now, if we can, I can have same level of standards for me and somebody else. I think my half battle is won. Because at least I don't get into overplaying mode. So whether it is, you know, I was in school, whether I was in college or at work, I think I had certain value system with me, some fundamentals. And those value systems always determine and help me draw the line, that Lakshman Rekha. So it, being a human being, as I said, you know, if you don't have some of these aspirational things in the life, then something fundamentally wrong with you as a person. But are you able to draw a reasonable line to contain yourself without frustrations? Contain yourself around your value system. Because there is a difference in when you contain yourself under constraints and when you contain yourself with value system. Value system puts you at a different, you know, stature, at a different level. Not, you know, compromising. You say, I think it's right, is wrong, is not right. Nothing about wrong. Is right, is not right. Is ethical, is unethical. It is right to do, not right to do.
Okay.
So that helps you, you know, manage your situations much better. I can share with you, and, you know, it's not about more, it's less about confession, but it's more about, you know, acknowledging.
Okay.
Today, if my wife can say, I have traveled extensively globally. I have traveled up US, Europe, Asia, so many countries.
Yeah.
Okay. But today, if I have a character certificate by my wife, that this man is pure. Now, that means somewhere always I had my own value system, you know, me carrying my value system. And drawing and defining that line. Now, if you do it not because of a value system, because of fear, first thing, you won't draw the respect from your life partner. Because you're not demonstrating that. You're not bringing that to the table.
Okay.
And second, when you are under fear, under threat, you are always in a in a denial mode to yourself. So that leads to frustration because you want to do something, right or wrong, but you are denying that to yourself because of fear factor, not because of value system.
Okay. Yes.
Value system puts you on a stronger foothold.
True.
Fear factor puts you on a weaker wicket.
Yes, I'm totally able to relate it. So with the, it's not exactly the same thing, but what I'm told regularly by Papa is, okay, everyone is controlled. Now it's your decision. You want to be controlled by yourself. You want to control yourself, or you want to let someone else control you. So if it's a value system, as you put it, you are controlling yourself. You decide what you do or what you don't. If you let someone else control you, it's either they are, you know, directly constraining you, or it's the fear constraining you. Fear again is someone else controlling you.
Someone else is controlling you. What others will say, that's a fear.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, if that is what controlling you, then who is in control again?
So, well, that's my belief. And as I said, gave you the example of, you know, 16, 46, 40. I gave you the example.
So with that, were you married at early age or like at after you were well settled and had some?
So I'll So I'll tell you, at one time under some family factor influence, I had said I will not get married.
Okay.
And my father also told my mother, don't talk to this guy. Whenever he says, we'll get him married.
Okay.
So till 29, when, you know, I was in Delhi living in a joint family, I had two elder brothers married, parents, everybody, sister, everybody around in the same family. I continue to maintain that I will not marry. But when I went to Bangalore in 92.
Okay.
In 3 months, I realized that you are a loner. But then I didn't take time. Now here again, I'm saying, you know, your own conviction. Now I could have, you know, debated next 6 months with myself. Okay, since I was in denial mode, do I, you know, get married or not? Now, the day I realized that I'm a loner, it did not take time for me to just say yes. I called up my mother and I said, I want to get married. Within 3 months. So 29 when I got engaged, 30 when I got married, and 31 when I got my first kid. But I have no regrets.
That's amazing. Like being able to make decisions without, you know, living in, okay, what if I change my decision?
What others will say?
Yeah, what others will say. Okay. Palat gaya.
So the moment I realized that now I think I'm loner, despite everybody in the family is there, but I'm a loner. I just decided to get married and I told my mother, I want to get married.
Wow. And I'm sure you are, you know, proud of that decision.
Oh, yes. No regrets. Till I decided not to get married, no regrets. And once I decided to get married, I got married, no regrets.
And well, that also falls in line with the philosophy, better than yesterday and happy as always.
See, so, there is no, because till 29, when I did not get married, I took such a decision not under anybody's influence. It was my decision. It was my own influence. It was all my factors. Now in those 3 months, I realized those factors getting neutralized. Now, I could, because if I had been in a denial mode, I would have taken minimum 6 more months to 1 year. And once you go into that debate period of 6 months to 1 year, the possibility is that you will not take a decision or you will end up taking a wrong decision. But I was quick enough to take a decision. And I was very clear that I wanted an arranged marriage. I wanted my mother to look for a girl for me. All that was sorted in my mind. And it precisely happened like that.
Sir, you had that clarity of thoughts. How did you achieve that? From what I understand, how we are brought up is we are programmed from a young age, if I may say so, to be aware of what the other person would think or what the society will think of this decision, and even work on that ego building. Okay, what if I change? I should be respectable, stay on my word to that extent. So how did you bypass those blockades and have clarity of thoughts and decisions?
So looking back, Nishant, I can say it was very simple for me. One, because it was not under anybody's influence to me. Because before that, in my family, two of my elder brothers had already got married. So there was no negative influence on me not to get married. Second, fair amount of, you can say, like, you know, open thinking. that when I realized that the considerations under which I was saying I will not get married, those considerations have gone out of my life. So that's what I'm saying. I had two options: either continue to be in denial and, you know, be cheat to yourself. You're realizing, but you're in denial mode too, and you're cheating yourself by saying, how do I do say yes? How do I, what people will say? And that's where a little bit of that IDC concept came to my life. It remained with me. Okay, once I have decided, and I'm saying even today, once I decided to get married, then I wanted arranged marriage. Then I wanted my mother to look for a girl for me. My parents. No, all this clarity was there in my mind. And I wanted a housewife. I respect all the working women, but I wanted a housewife. Now, fair amount of clarity in your mind. I think that helps you take decisions. That helps you take faster decisions. That helps you not go in a regret situation, because you own your decisions. You believe in your decisions. And you think you have taken a right decision in a given context.
Yes, that is important. Owning up to your decisions and, you know, believing in them. Yeah. And many a times what I see is people be like, okay, I regret that decision. I wish I knew. Means I wouldn't take the same decision today. The first thought that comes to my mind is, you know things right now that you did not know back then. And you have had different experiences since that you were not having earlier. So you are a different person now. Think from the perspective of person who took the decision. I'm sure you did the right thing back then, at least as per what you thought.
See, it's about your attitude. You have one factor: ownership. Own your decisions. After that, you don't look left, right, center, I can tell you. And you are on your two firm feet. Even when people want to come and misdirect you, it won't happen to you. Because now you have owned your own decision and you are firm about it. You believe in it. That at that point of time, in a given situation, that is what the decision was taken. So owning your decision can be one differentiator, like commitment to yourself, owning your own decision, vis-a-vis playing a victim card. Because then you're playing a victim card now.
When you're trying to put the blame on other person,
you're trying to play the victim card. The moment you play victim card, you are on a weak wicket. When you own your decision, you're on a very firm, very strong wicket. Look back 10, 100,000 situations in our respective life. When we played the victim card and when we stood on our two firm feet to own our decisions. Everyone can find the difference for oneself. No, it is applicable to all of us. Not that I have never played victim card. I'm sure I would have played victim card many times. But I can safely say majority of time, closer to 100, not exactly 100, but closer to 100, possibly I have stood on my two feet and I have owned my own decisions. But it is never 100%. I also am sure in my life I would have played a victim card. But how quickly I came out of the victim. See, another thing, people believe they play the victim card and they remain with that victim card. Now, victim card also, if you can play temporarily, situational, and slowly get out of it, then that means you get into learning curve. Because if you remain in denial mode, if you remain in, being a victim, you are never learning.
That's true.
But if you play victim card, get out of it, then you get onto learning curve.
Yes, because now you're saying, okay, it's me who made this happen, you're also saying that I have power to change it. And when you realize,
so in a reaction, maybe I played victim card, but holistically, very quickly, I got back to that and I said, no, I think. And the best thing can happen when you can do confession.
Okay.
I have done one confession, I think on last week of last 15 days of August. The moment you do confession, I think it relieves you. It puts another level of power and strength in you. Because now you are out of that guilt through confession. And I've done open confession.
Wow.
Confession gives you strength, makes you stronger.
Okay.
Draws, you can draw much more respect, possibly, most times.
Wow. Confessions are...
You will do confession only when you mean it. When you believe in it.
Yes.
Otherwise, we continue to fool around ourselves and be in denial and say and feel in a position of strength, but actually you remain in the position of weakness. By doing open confession or appropriate confession, you actually shift gears from position of weakness to position of strength.
Wow. That's a new learning for me. One of the many I've
Trust
had.
Me.
One of the many I'm
Trust
having
me.
Today.
Trust me.
I do. Okay. So, sir, are these the factors why you think the relationships people have today are different than what they used to be earlier or 20 years before or 30 years before?
So I think in today's environment, the reasons are very, very different.
Okay.
First thing, the exposure, what we had earlier and exposure that we have today, I think that also is contributing significantly to that. So I'll give you a very simple example. Earlier when you had, let's say, one television at home.
Yeah.
So what you used to do?
Doordarshan at max.
Even if one channel, I'm saying even if channels are coming, but you have one TV set at home. That means whenever you will watch that TV, some program, you 2, 3, 4 of you will sit in one place and do that.
True.
Today, if you have TV set in each of the rooms, by design, you are allowing people to, segregate.
Yeah.
That is one. Second, I think we are moving to more and more toward nucleus family. And even in that, suppose there is a family, living in one part of the city and the workplace is 40 kilometers from that. So people tend to go by convenience and say, let's take a PG accommodation there. And then people start living separately. So this is also happening by design.
Yes.
Third thing. Today's people, younger generation, I'm not blaming them. I'm not talking anything negative about them. I think this is a natural phenomena. I think they tend to be more so-called independent mindset.
Okay.
No, I don't blame them. I don't blame them because I think the blame has to be on us. If we had brought them up appropriately, within our value system, within our culture, they would not have been like that. So even if any element of blame that goes to the previous generation like ours, I can tell you, I won't blame the current generation. Yet another factor, today's generation is very fast. They want to achieve results like yesterday.
I can completely agree. That used to be how I would think for things.
the loyalty factor, you know, is losing, is not diminishing, but losing its value. People, you know, living together in family, people, you know, working for an organization for a long time, having long term friendship relationships. Because the world has spread so much that we are living in a, you know, like global village. And people, they really want to move fast and achieve things faster. And they don't care. Because when you want to move fast, you don't care that, you know, if left, right, center, if I have to push somebody, I'm okay to do that. So I think there are multiple factors, exposure, the new thinking. And I don't want to say right or wrong, because there is nothing right or wrong. It is a reality. It's a reality. Now, only thing is that I still believe that, you know, the kind of family system we got and the kind of family system we have given to our kids. So can we look at our kids, you know, how they are different than some of the kids, you know, who have been living a very different life otherwise.
Okay. If there's one thing that you could change about your relationship experiences, what would it be?
I think I need to learn the art and science of forgiveness.
Okay.
Maybe I have been doing that in limited way, limited manner. But I think I need to sharpen myself on forgivenessness, which can, you know, make some of relationship in my life far superior and far better, or can at least make my life much better, much sorted.
Getting off all the baggage.
There are situations, you know. So I'm. This is again a confession. I'm, you know, because not that, you know, everything is sorted. And there are a few things maybe in the life, you know, they are not sorted because I don't know about others, but, you know, maybe I haven't learned the science and art or the courage to, you know, forgive certain situations, not people. So I think if I can learn a little more, I think I'm doing in a small way, little limited way. But I think there's a lot of scope for me to sharpen on that aspect, work upon that aspect to sort my some of, you know, current situations. Because if somebody is saying, no, everything in my life is sorted, the person is a liar. So I don't want to be a liar. Like anybody, I also have certain situations in my life where the relations are possibly not so sorted. But if I can learn the, you know, and have the courage of forgiveness, not to people, but to the situations, you know, which causes these some kind of disruptions, I think it can help me. It can make my life still better sorted.
Wow.
And I have no doubt in, you know, saying this without mincing words.
Wow, that'd be awesome. Okay, sir. I would ask just one more question before we wrap this up. Sir, what would you guide Sudhir in 1990s? Like when he just got out of college maybe, or when he was about to get married? Some advice for yourself in 1990s?
Looking back.
Yes.
I think again it's a quasi confession that I think I was over aggressive that time, and I know I must have rubbed people on the wrong side because of my aggression. I think and maybe that is a time when, you know, I was in HCL, I was growing. So, you know, when first time in your life you see growth, see, so very moderately, I will say, you know, sometime what happens, you start getting growth. But first time when you get into growth gear,
uh-huh.
that time what happened, I think you become a little more aggressive because something happens to you. So I think my messaging to myself would be, I wish if I was a little moderate in my, you know, profile, in my behavior, in my engagement, in my interactions. Maybe looking back, I think in certain situations, I used to get over-aggressive. And that over-aggressive in the sense, because first time when you're in a power gear, so, you know, sometimes it goes into your head, which is not good. So over time, it settles. But initially, maybe, you know, it happened. So I think if I was able to maintain a more moderate profile, I think that could have been a better. While I have no regrets, because of that, you know, anytime I have collapsed. The regret would have been if, you know, because of that, when you are getting into next gear and you started, you know, behaving in a particular way, and that caused you pushback. So that would have been a situation of regret. But in my situation, at least God has been kind and nice to me that at least I have never ran into regret situation. But since you asked me, so I said one thing possibly, and maybe messaging for anybody, that when you shift gears, just see that, you know, you go through the motions better.
Oh, that's like the perfect note to, you know, finish our session with, something that if we take to our lives, any of us, the audience, we will be able to see positive results almost instantaneously, and they will be lasting ones.
Lasting ones. Luckily, because I did not have to go through any negative motions because of that. So I, you know, could maintain my journey well. So that's the reason I'm saying no regrets, but looking retrospect, I think possibly we can be a little more careful.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Sudhir sir, for your time and your wisdom. I hope I was able to provide you a comfortable space to have the discussion, and you enjoyed it.
Nishant, otherwise we could not have continued for so long.
That's true. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Wonderful, Nishant. Good luck. God bless you.